Hallo Christina.
Hallo Roberto. Ich freue mich, dich zu sehen. Gut siehst du aus mit deinen Locken auf dem Kopf.
Du, immer mehr. Ein immer richtiger mehr. Busch auf
Wahnsinn,
dem Kopf.
Wa? Ja, ja, total. Wie geht's dir denn heute, mein Lieber? Defekt oder Exzellenz?
Irgendwie dazwischen. Nein, ich ertrinke wirklich gerade zur Zeit in Arbeit und das ja wirklich und das könnte mich irgendwie fast defekt fühlen lassen. Doch ich habe mich jetzt entschieden, all diese wunderbaren Dinge, die ich ja machen darf, diese unglaublich schönen Dinge zu zelebrieren und mit Freude zu machen.
Wow.
Und deswegen, ja,
deswegen, und es gelingt dir?
Und es gelingt mir sogar und deswegen fühle ich mich exzellent.
Ah, oh, wie schön. Ich freue mich, dass du dich exzellent fühlst.
Wie fühlst du dich denn, meine Liebe? Defekt oder exzellent?
Ich fühle mich exzellent, tatsächlich. Stell dir vor.
Und zwar... Überraschung.
Ja, also...
Wie kommt's?
Ja, darauf muss ich jetzt auch mal einen Schluck
ja.
nehmen.
Zum Cheers.
Weil ich, als ich heute Morgen aufgewacht bin... Und dieses Grau da draußen gesehen habe, habe ich gedacht, oh mein Gott, und ich will heute so viel tun, ähnlich so wie du, habe so viel zu tun. Und dann habe ich wie jeden Morgen eine Karte gezogen aus meinem Orakeldeck und habe die Karten sozusagen gefragt, was ich heute brauche, damit ich diesen Tag in Glück und Freude bestehe. Und dann kam die Magierin.
Die Magierin?
Ja, und ich bin immer mal ganz glücklich, wenn sie kommt, weil das passte so schön, weil die Magierin, die schaut zurück ins Vergangene, um zu zeigen, was man alles schon geschafft hat. Und mit dieser Idee und mit dem, was man alles kann vor allen Dingen. Und dann habe ich Vogelgezwitscher gehört. Das erste Mal.
Das habe ich auch gehört.
Und da war mein Glück perfekt.
Schön, wa?
Deswegen geht es mir exzellent.
Der Frühling kommt.
Genau, der Frühling kommt. Und... Jetzt kommt zu uns ein Gast.
We
have a guest today.
And that's why we switch now in English, because our guest speak also German, I think. Perhaps he show us some German skills, but we speak in English.
Yes.
The second time, Christina.
A warm-hearted welcome to Usama Al-Hassan.
Hello, Zama. Hello.
Hello, Roberto and Christina. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Nice
to
be here.
We are happy that you are our guest today.
I'm looking forward.
Usama, can I ask you, does your name mean something? Usama?
Well, yes. Usama mean lion in Arabic language.
Lion?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you are a lion?
I think so, sometimes.
and can I ask you, did you have some problem with your name in other countries? Because you have a very famous man who also is also calling Usama, and did you have some problem with his name?
I wouldn't say problems, but like funny situations in a kind of is like especially like I came here for my master degree for studies, so in like when the teacher in university example tried to say my name, so it was always a struggle, like Usama, and I also have fun with it, like make people uncomfortable. Like I could say Usama, I'm like, yes, like Bin Laden, you know.
So. Okay. First of all, I want to introduce our guest to our listeners.
Yeah.
And Usama was born and raised in Sudan.
Yes.
And studied there mechanical engineering.
That's true.
And left Sudan when he was 24 years old and went to Saudi Arabia to work there for 6 years on several places there, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And since 2019, you are in Berlin to do your master degree in project management, and that happened. You have your degree, right?
Yes, yeah.
And now you are working in digital marketing.
Yes, I know that. That's a bit of confusion. Yeah.
Okay. And your master degree is in project management. I think.
Yes.
And that's for the first steps. I think we will know you a little bit better after our other questions. But is there something important you want to say of your bio now?
Not exactly. Yeah, that's summit. Yes, I moved a lot since I was 24, and I end up in Berlin. If you ask me how, I don't know. I think it chose me more than I chose it. So yes.
We talked then about this, about this topic. This is very interesting. But before, I want to ask you, because your father is Sudanese, was Sudanese, and your mother Yemeni.
Yes.
Do you know how they met?
Well, my mother family, like, they're originally from Yemen, but they've been based on Sudan for like two generations. So yeah, so my father and my mother, they met in Sudan, and that was like a long time ago. My father passed away when I was young. I grew up only with my mother and my two siblings. My brothers.
Okay.
Some elder brothers, right?
Yeah.
Older brothers. How much elder they are?
I'm the youngest, so my middle brother is 2 years older, and my older brother is 8 years older than me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But did your mother felt like a foreigner in Sudan?
I wouldn't say so, no, because there's a lot of like Yemeni older generations that grew up in Sudan. Sudan is a very diverse country, so you have all races, a lot of nationalities as well. So you have different colors, different religions, different nationalities. So they didn't feel like you say, Auslanders, but they were known like they are, like the Yemeni house, let's say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And in your bio you gave us before, and the bio touched me very much, because you write in not in only facts, you write some wonderful words about your life and also your mother. You write, "My mom is my hero. I like Nana very much." What is the special thing of your mom?
Yeah, that's true. Like, my mom is my idol. I'm my best friend as well.
Wow.
Like, my dad passed away when I was really, really young. Like, I was 4 years old.
Okay.
And it's been only my mom and three boys.
Yeah.
So it's not easy. I mean, if it's girls, maybe a bit easier. But it's like, and she didn't, she didn't want to get remarried.
Oh, again, okay.
So she really like built a life for us where we grew up very comfortably and we didn't need anyone. It's the opposite way, actually. My mom is the one who always helping the family, mm-hmm. and even my father family. So yes, she's an amazing woman, and everyone says so, and I'm really happy to hear that, like, from other people. So yeah, she is my hero.
Wow!
To all the mothers.
To all the mothers. Wow. I love my mother too. She's also my hero, and that's why, you know, we work on a trilogy, and it's calling Immaculate. And my mother's name is Immacolata.
Oh, really?
So it's also, this trilogy is dedicated to her.
Yeah.
So my mother is also my hero.
And she is a hero. I like her. So I love her so much.
In which country, in which city do you grew up? In the capital of Sudan?
Yeah, I grew up in the capital in Khartoum.
Okay.
My mom family originally from other city. It's called Atbara, which is like north from Khartoum. So like 3 hours. Yeah. 3 to 4 hours.
I just want to say, because I read some little things about Sudan, and our listeners perhaps don't know where Sudan is or something like that. I don't know. So I just want to say, some information about Sudan from Google Sudan, from Google, as a Sudan is a country in Northeast Africa, is near the Red Sea. is 5 times larger than Germany. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that. It's really five times larger. Mm-hmm. Since 1956, Sudan is independent. Mm-hmm. I read. Sudan is very rich on mineral resources, mm-hmm. as like oil, gold, uranium, marble, iron. You have 10 national parks. Yeah. I read.
Ten
national parks.
So all the people are more in the capital, in the main cities, and the rest is more nature than...
Sudan is very huge, but the population is not as much if you compare it to Germany, because Sudan is like only 40 millions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, but most of the people are like living in the... in the capital, in Khartoum. Mm-hmm. And also now, because like now it's two separate countries. So before it was Sudan and South Sudan, it was one country. Now it's two separate countries. So it's Sudan and South Sudan as well. So now, yes, before it was like, yeah, the biggest country in Africa. Now it's not really, I think Algeria is. But it's very diverse, yeah. Like it's very diverse. Like we have maybe more than 25... like local tribal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have a very young population, I also read.
Yeah,
that you
true.
Really have a young population. Yeah. And I read also that China is the biggest investor in Sudan.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
can you say how the situation is now in Sudan in this moment?
Well, now, like, the political situation is a mess, to be honest. I was there, I just came back 2 weeks ago. And now, because, since three years, there was, like, a protest, there was, people demonstrating against the previous system, the previous regime, which was there for, like, 30 years. So there was, like, a... protests, and there was like kind of a revolution. So the previous system fell down, and in this they had like a constitutional agreement, which is like between the military and the civilian, to have like elected government in 2023. And just unfortunately, like last October, there was a military coup. So the military is trying to take over this agreement, or like breaking this agreement. So now it's a conflict area. Like no one is knowing what's happening, because there is mm-hmm. not actual government at the moment. So there's a lot of protests. Even when I was there, there's like protests 3 times a week. Everyone is like saying no, everyone is against it. And it's very admirable, because it's like mostly young people. Like you see people mm-hmm. who's 18, 17 on the street and protesting and saying no to this system. Mm-hmm. And so now it's not the best situation. It's still a lot of conflicts, a lot of outsource countries also trying to involve. So yes, I hope it will settle soon.
How do you grew up in Sudan when you were a child? How can I imagine this? It was a nice childhood that you had.
Yes, I did had a really nice childhood, I think. It's my home. It's always going to be my home. And I'm really happy when I'm there, when I'm uh-huh. visiting with uh-huh. my family and friends. And growing up, I would say Sudan is kind of like more Arabic Islamic culture than African culture in a way. It's a mix of both.
Uh-huh.
So you have like the family and friendship ties is very strong. So you grew up with your neighbors, and everyone around you is like a family to you. So you know everyone, wow. and people coming in, coming out without like making appointments, like here. It's my struggle.
Yeah. Wow, that's another way, like in Berlin, to live here. Huh?
So yes, it was
a challenge for you. Huh? I think so.
Yeah.
But you told us that you are... changing your life when you are 24 and went to Saudi Arabia after your bachelor. because you want to see something more, you want to discover something else, and you have the feeling that that's not real your country to live free in Sudan, and you went to Saudi Arabia. Why that?
Is Saudi Arabia more free than Sudan?
Not really.
It was so only I have that question.
Well, yeah, I grew up like I always knew, like, I was curious, I guess, since I was a kid. I was curious about like the other world, like the outside world, especially the West. And also because maybe my father was a pilot also, because my mom always to tell us like stories about his travel and all his adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I wanted to study to become a pilot, me and my brothers also.
Ooh.
But my mom didn't want that because unfortunately, like, my dad, he died in a plane crash. My mom it was like a huge tragedy. Like, she was just like, no one is going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
Because the father of your man is also of your husband.
Exactly.
Also I understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but I always been like curious about traveling, and just like I couldn't wait to finish university so I could travel finally.
Yeah.
And work and make my own money. And Saudi Arabia was like the first option because I had my uncles there living there. So mm-hmm. I had like a job offer, and then I moved there. And also I think because like growing up as a homosexual person in Sudan is not like the easiest thing, because it's at the end is like a Muslim culture. It's very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you might say, yeah, but you went to Saudi Arabia. I know it was. It is even worse when it comes to that. But I would say it was.
It was your first step.
Yeah.
Do you feel free there? Because there's no, their uncles, but not all your friends and family there.
Exactly.
There.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if I can speak about homosexuality, because I read that till 2020, as of 2 years ago, homosexuality was punishable by death in Sudan. Now it's better. I heard, I read on Google that it's now better, that when they see you to do an homosexual act, you go to the prison, but not anymore. You be punished by death.
I believe now maybe it's like, I haven't heard of anyone who like being executed from being homosexual.
Okay.
But it's like when you grow up to this mentality that it's forbidden, like you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And even when people talk about it, it's like the worst thing ever. So people saying bad things. And so for me, I had a really, like, I had no experiences until I traveled, until I was 24, because I was really scared of trying anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I don't think now it's any better. Maybe like officially it's not like you'd be executed, but still you would go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
For that, and it's like the shame on you, on your family, all that, blah blah blah. So yeah, I didn't even take my chances to try anything, and that's why I just wanted to leave.
But did you have your first experience, if I can ask, your first experience in Saudi Arabia?
Not exactly experience. I had some experiences, but like my first relationship, yes, was in Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Okay. And you are supported by your mother and family, or they don't know?
Not exactly out to my family. For so many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, even now, like when I go back visit, you can see like it's still the same mentality, like still the same values that everyone is following. So it's like nothing much change. So for me it's like to be out to them at the moment is not the best option.
Yeah.
When you moved to Saudi Arabia and you lived the first time alone, what was the first thing that you have to learn for surviving? Can you remember what was the first thing that you have to what was the first thing that you have to learn for surviving?
I don't know. I guess I was too excited to get out, because literally, like, when I went to Saudi Arabia, I just took, like, the ticket money from my family. I didn't take any money from them, because I was like, okay, you're a grown-ass man now, you should do this by yourself.
Wow.
So I didn't. And the funny thing is, like, I start this job, like, working with this company. And it was, like, I used to work in construction projects. So, like, working in design and installing also, like, the mechanical system. And I work with this company, and I remember, like, for the 3 months, I didn't get a cent.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
For 3 months?
For 3 months,
yeah. Wow, okay. Why? Because it's usually...
Because it's like, yes, we're still, like, waiting for money from the clients, we're still not paying you, and this.
Okay.
This is something normal in the Gulf countries in general.
Okay. What do you do?
So, yeah, that was like, the biggest challenge.
How do you survive?
Well, the thing is, I didn't ask my family for money, and but I did manage. Like, the good thing is, I had a lot of my friends from uni, from university. They were there, so of course you can just, like, ask your friends for the money, and then after that it was like, yeah, when I got my money from the company, I got my money after I left the company, and then I just, like, yeah. But I managed. It was a challenge, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Wow.
It's very,
you think it's the right way you go? Or sometimes you think, oh, I had been back to Sudan, there it's better? Or?
Oh, yeah, of course. Every night.
Every night you thought, yes. Yes. Oh, I want to go back to my mom. Did your mom...
What did I do?
Did your mom give you some advices when you left Sudan that you still follow?
Of course. It was really hard, like, to leave my family, especially my mom, for the first time. And my mom, of course, she was like, yeah, just be careful, take care, always call, do this, eat 3 meals a day. I was like, eat 1 meal. So, yeah, of course, she was worried, but she was a little in peace because she have her brothers, like my uncles. So she was my uncle family. So she was a little bit, yeah, okay, not very stressed. But I wasn't actually sharing with them my first experience because I didn't want to make them worried. But it was difficult, but...
But you
survived. Yes.
You survived.
Yeah.
And can you say, I've never been in Saudi Arabia. Do you...
And Dubai.
You are in Dubai. You were in Dubai.
Oh, in Dubai.
So I've never been there. So what do you like in Saudi Arabia? What do you like from Saudi Arabia? What do you take with you in your life?
Well, Saudi Arabia is very different now than it was like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now it's more open, more liberal. Like when I was there, it's very conservative country. Like men or women are very segregated. They don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, even if you go to restaurants, you find like single section and then family section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you are a single person there, a man, not a woman, because women are treated like families. But men are really suffering if you're a single man,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was a strange experience. For me, like, the main goal was to go there, work, get experience, get money, and then move on. That was my plan. So it wasn't, like, bad. I really enjoyed it, I would say. And I do miss it sometimes. I also used to work in Dubai, like, between Saudi Arabia and Dubai. Emirates or Dubai is more liberal than Saudi Arabia, much more. Yeah.
And after that, Berlin chose you in a way, you said?
Yeah, you say Berlin chose you.
How you want to go to the West? I understand that. Yeah. But why Berlin and why choose Berlin you?
And can I ask first, why do you want to go to the West? Is it this from my point of view, from my white man, Swiss guy, is that the African people think that the West is more is better because it's richer and more free? Was this the dream of the West? To can celebrate life better, more free, and and also with more money? Was this the goal that you had?
Kind of, in a way, yeah. I will not say money was the main thing, because I was making much more than what I'm doing now.
I think so, yeah.
So yeah, it's not the money, but it's like
Berlin is poor and sexy.
That is true. Yes. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. But it's like I don't know. Like, living in Saudi Arabia was like the first time for me is like to be independent, like mm-hmm. to make have control of my own life. And for me, I always wanted to go to the US.
Okay.
Because I have family there. Maybe also like the American TV influence growing up.
Where's your family in US?
I have my aunt and my cousins are in North Carolina. Uh-huh. And I also have my grandfather and his family in Michigan.
Okay.
So I have a lot of family there, and I always wanted to go there. I'm glad I didn't. And it's because, yeah, part of it is because of being homosexual, as I said before.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Saudi Arabia, I did have amazing experiences, but it's an underground life, you know, mm-hmm. where you just have to hide everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same in Sudan. And I'm very grateful because I met like my first boyfriend there, and he really taught me a lot. But my plan was to go to the West, because I felt like, okay, this is where I can be myself. I don't have to hide anymore. And so, yes, Berlin was not my first choice. It wasn't actually my
choice. What was your first choice?
My first choice was, yeah, the US and also Australia. For some reason, ooh, I don't know okay. why.
warm. It's more warm than Berlin.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was Canada also, but for the weather, I was like, no, maybe it's not the best option. And I always also wanted to do my master degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, so maybe I should do this like this way, like go for my master and then maybe try to stay. And so, yeah, I was like writing with one university in the US. Everything was going well. And then I missed like the semester intakes. So I missed the chance of going there this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was, after 6 years, I was at a point where I just need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take it anymore.
Okay.
And so, yes, I visited Berlin before, like in 2017.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Because you have friends met in Saudi Arabia or Sudan?
Yeah, from my friends from Sudan and Saudi Arabia as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, we came like for, we came in December for like the holidays.
Okay.
And yeah, and it was funny because I was like in Berlin and I told my friend like, oh, it will be nice to live here, actually. And yeah, it just happened.
Okay, and then Berlin chose you.
Exactly, yes.
And you came here to study and make your master degree.
Yes, it happened very quickly, in like 3 months.
Project management.
Yeah, yes.
And you love it, that studying here? It was also in English, huh?
Not yeah, yes, it was in English. I chose project management because I did work as a project manager before.
Ah, okay.
And I wanted something more with business than with engineering.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why like now I'm in this career shifting phase, because I just want to do something different.
Okay, and now you make digital marketing, and yes, that's not the way of your vision, no?
it's not, yeah, because now, yes, I do work with mostly social media.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I must say, yes, I enjoy it, I really do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you are happy here in Berlin?
Yes, I would say yes. If you ask me, yes, now, yes. Before, I would say maybe not.
Why? What's the challenges are here for you?
The first challenges were like to be a student again. Like,
okay, yes. I understand that. Yeah. It depend on Berlin. That's
exactly
right. Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
It was like to be a student again and just like, yeah, getting that mood and mm-hmm. Feeling older than everyone else.
Yeah.
But
you made it.
Yes, now I would say yes. I'm like finally stable in a way. Yeah.
Do you think that human being in the West or in Berlin can celebrate life much better and more free than in Sudan?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You think they celebrate life more free than in Sudan?
Not only Sudan, even like in the Gulf countries, like in Saudi Arabia as well. It's like, yeah, people here are, yes, they do celebrate life. Like where I'm from is like the culture is mostly just work. So people don't really celebrate only like the official things. But here is like, yeah, I was really happy. Like in Berlin, you can go out. People go out every day during the week. Where I'm from is like, no, it's only everyone like waiting for the weekend and to do something big. So yes, and also like they celebrate everything, like the small things, like graduations or like new job or like good news. And I love it. It's really nice.
You celebrate all your steps in your
yes.
perfect and wonderful life until now. And how you celebrate, for example, your steps and now? What do you do?
I like to treat myself like yes, like maybe go for like a nice vacation mm-hmm. or like buying something I always wanted to buy
mm-hmm.
or yeah, I or like just giving to people. That's what I like also.
Wow, yeah. Cool.
You said that you left your country because you wanna find yourself. Would you say that you already find yourself now? You know who Usama is now?
Not quite exactly. But I guess this is the question, because we always want something more. You know, like if you ask me like 5 years ago, do I have everything I wanted? Yes. But mm-hmm. if you ask me now, of course, I want different things now, like different. But I would say, yeah, I grew up a lot to the closer to the person I want to be. Yeah.
What do you want now? What are your wishes now in your life? What do you want to have in your life?
Right now, maybe to have a family, I think.
You want a family?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, like I want kids, yes.
You want kids?
Yes.
Really?
Wow.
And
great.
Do you, and
you in Berlin, or you have the vision to go back to Africa?
I have no idea. No, going back, living there, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It could be in Berlin, anywhere, but
in the West.
Yeah, but
and you want a family with a woman or with a guy?
No, definitely not with a woman. With a guy. Now, before if you ask me, I saw that like impossible. But like coming here and see like there's actual couples who have kids and having a family, it's made it sounds like it's possible.
So you can imagine, and
yeah.
but now you are single. So you have to first meet a guy who you can make a family?
Let's see if it's possible in
In Berlin, okay. How is the gay life in Berlin? How do you feel? How is it? Do you like?
I would say like the gay life here is very forward. I would say people really know what they want and they just put it there out in your face. I wouldn't say it's easy to find partners in Berlin. Even for hetero relationship, I think it's also difficult, like talking to my friends.
It is also for you, isn't it?
It is.
To find a good partner is difficult. But why? Why is difficult in Berlin? Why? Because you have a lot of choices, as because you have a lot of people that you can, as you can have every day other guys or
And all or the people women, think or, they are free and want to live that free life and don't want to be too close
and too close or, and to
and that's the point, I think. That's in Berlin the point.
And Berlin is like a party city, so it has its reputation.
It was a party city. It was. I don't know if if it comes again, but we hope that it comes again. Yeah. But now it's a little bit different.
But you know more the city and in that pandemic than before.
That's true. That is true. Yeah.
You like it. I like that. And you like die deutsche Sprache?
Ein bisschen.
Magst du sie lernen oder?
Yes.
So, but you understand German?
Yeah.
You understand
German? Ich kann mehr verstehen, als ich sprechen kann.
Du kannst mehr verstehen, als du sprechen kannst.
And you work on it or it's not so in Berlin you can every time and everywhere you can speak English, so it's
that's
not,
true that's a problem
necessary.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish that's I a li- problem huh?
Yeah, I wish I lived somewhere where I had to learn German. Yes, I would really love to learn it
in the country
yes,
very small city or so
where no one will answer,
but I think that's not the best way.
and so you say Berlin give you the opportunity to be yourself, to live your sexuality, to live your own personality?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
The nice thing about Berlin is like no one cares. Like everyone is just free. So you can go outside and just take the subway or the U-Bahn and you just be entertained because you see like different people, like everyone wearing different clothing. No one cares about how you look like or what do you do or who are you kissing. So it's like, yes, in a way, yes, it really helped me a lot.
So you would say that Berlin is also not such a racist city? Or do you have some problem with racism?
I wouldn't say. I had some experiences, yes, but I believe like people here are more curious than racist. So it's how you interpret it. So maybe someone will ask you like, okay, you're black or where you're from or have no idea. But I find at the beginning, yes, I might be a little offense about it. But now I realize, okay, maybe because they never saw like a black person.
And they are curious.
In Berlin, never see a black guy.
But the people are curious and find where you come from. That's not a racist point.
But not only in Berlin.
Only they want to know.
Because I also been to Stuttgart and to Hamburg. And to also be like in Stuttgart, I've been to like this small village was called Fellbach. And you can see like people looking or just like curious, because I had like someone asking me like, where are you from and where Sudan is and this. So for me, I'm taking it more as, okay, I could just answer every questions you have. It doesn't bother me. But of course you will have some experiences where people are just being like, okay, you're an Auslander or you're just like this and this, but it's up to you to choose to ignore it or address it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I have another question. And that was a personal way in Berlin. But what's about your professional way in Berlin? You see any chance to change your personal life, your professional life here?
Like going back to what I was doing before?
Maybe, or you have another option of doing something else or something new in project management or something like that?
Yeah, before, I don't want to do what I was doing before, because I was like, okay, I did that for 6 years, that's enough, I need something different, that's why I'm doing this job now, and I really enjoy it, because even for this job, like, I started with one position, now I'm in a different position, so there is a chance to improve, to grow, and...
Great.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of opportunities here in Germany, or in Berlin as well.
I can hear all the people, they say that it's not the best place for options on work.
Not exactly. I think there is very good options, but maybe it's only focused on specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
So like for engineering, I think like Germany is like the best, one of the best countries in the world. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. But it's not something I want to do.
Yeah, I understand now. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And do you go to Berlin when you go out? Do you go also out in some, I don't know, concert or theater or something like that? Because Berlin have a lots of things, also in English, more and more in the underground. There are lots of artists that perform in English now more than ever. Do you go out also to see some shows? Also in the before pandemic time?
Yeah. Yes, before the pandemic time.
Before the pandemic.
And this is a problem because I only had 1 year here before the pandemic.
Okay.
And I was a student and I was working as well, so I didn't had much time to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And I really regret it now because it feels like I still haven't seen a lot of Berlin.
But you will have the chance.
Yes, hopefully.
I think so. I really hope that it will change. Yeah, I think so.
I would say, you know, we have, I don't know if we are now in the end of the our podcast.
It was so wonderful to talk to you.
The question
Thank
is
you so much.
Because we have, of you know, course. We have a tradition. We have a tradition in our podcast with our guest that we always say to our listeners some we want to give in this time, in this really difficult time, some advices. Like how we can live this life, not just surviving, but also to celebrate to celebrate life. So, can you give to our listeners an advice? What what you think? What is important in life?
Or your guiding principle, or something like that.
when the pandemic started, like one of the things I liked is like how people came close together. It's like I was talking to like family or friends that I lost contact since we were kids or like we were in school. So everyone was caring and asking about other people because we had a lot of time and nothing much to do. So people were more caring, were more like empathetic in a way. And I was like really hoping that will continue. And especially like even like with climate change, if we talk about it, like people using less traveling and less commuting. And it works like working from home. So, but unfortunately, like when we have a little bit of freedom, we goes back to that. So what I hope from everyone is like, yes, to be more human, like to have like compassion, to have passion, to have empathy, to have like to be honest with each other and just like, yeah, be humans. That's it.
Beautiful.
Wow, I like it.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And you, Christina, what do you want to give to our listeners?
After that talk and after the bio of Osama, I would say today never give up and stay curious.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Never give up. Never, 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 never. Yeah, and I want just to say that celebrate life every day for little things. Sometimes they are very little things, but to be happy and to say, hey, wow, we did it. Like this podcast, yeah. We did it in English.
And with a very special
and great guest. And I'm so happy that you are here.
It's been a pleasure.
Ozama. And I thank you so much, really. And I wish you really that you find your family and that you find that you can, how can I say, that you can, deine Träume werden erfüllt. How can they see in English? Do you understand this in German?
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Ich hoffe, dass deine Wünsche sich erfüllen. Und thank you so much that you are our, vielen Dank.
I'm delighted to have you as our guest.
Thank you so much. It was a blast. It was really great.
Thank you, Ozama.
Thank you for having me.
Christina, ich danke auch dir. Wir haben es wieder mal geschafft auf Englisch. Obwohl wir kein Englisch können, Ozama hat uns wenigstens verstanden und ich hoffe, dass unsere ZuhörerInnen uns auch verstanden haben. Und auf das nächste Mal.
Auf das nächste Mal und feiere das Leben.
Feiere das Leben. Ciao, ciao. Christina.
Ciao, Roberto.
Zwischen Defekt und Exzellenz.